Succession number 19656, Real Six.
Hammond Real Six. You were saying you had to be...
You had to be real fit because the hours of... You were standing on your feet and being... doing a job. I mean, you were piloting a ship, which meant the attention you had to... could never, for a moment, be lost. The canal is like a ditch. You go a degree off the centre line and you're in trouble, because that really amounted to keeping a ship exactly where it should be and maintaining your position with a ship ahead of you. You hadn't been less than a kilometre behind it because of the... we put convoys through to get the maximum ships through, which meant a tranche of ships, say 10 ships, occupying 10 kilometres going through on a time basis to get the maximum amount of tonnage through and past. And that's how it happened.
Did you ever have any accidents?
One nasty one, actually. Ordinarily, when you take a ship through the canal from port side, you have to tie up to let the other convoy pass. But occasionally, it would so happen that a convoy from port side was going to get a free run, which meant that for 5 hours, there was no tying up, and you were just going to be going. All right. So, I mean, that is good, because you were going to be do a job, and it's going to take a lot less time than you would expect it to. Anyway, I was piloting, or at least I supposed to be piloting a ship called the Danish ship.
Don't worry about the name.
Danish tanker, anyway. It was a big Danish tanker, about 17,000 tons. And she was berthed at the famous old berth B, right up to this, that famous old store in Portside, Simon Arts. And anyway, I go aboard. Morning, Captain. Ready to sail? Yes, ready to sail. Right, let's get this free run. Let's get going, let go starboard, let go port line. Heavers port anchor up, bow comes out, and half speed ahead, both to the big diesel, two twin diesels kick over. And of course, they kick over pretty quick, and the ship gets momentum right away. About 400 yards away is the canal offices on the right, and then behind the canal offices is a basin called Bassin Sharif. And out of Bassin Sharif comes a BI cargo ship called the Divana, straight across the channel. And I'm underway, just kicked off about, and she kicked off about 8 knots. So I thought, my God, we're in trouble here. So I said, stop engines, full astern both, let go starboard anchor. Starboard anchor went, let go port anchor. The port anchor jammed in a blooming horse pipe, didn't go. So I'm belting full astern, and the ship's just going, and we just actually touched. Wouldn't have done if the port anchor had gone. But just before we touched, the captain said to me, "Pilot, we're not gas free. I said, oh Christ, hold your hat on. There was no explosion. She didn't explode, but she could have. It would have wrecked Portside. He shouldn't have been in the berth he was in. He should have been in the outer harbour. But he declared when he came in that he was gas-free. But when he saw this imminent collision, he said, not gas-free. Anyway.
Was much damage done to the ships?
A bit to the bow. Not a lot, really, about 2,000, 10,000 quid's worth, which was minor, really.
And to the Divana?
About the same, not much. Anyway.
Why had the Divana come out like that?
Because the port officer hadn't put the interdiction signal up. He should have done. Anyway, the port officer got the blame. The pilot of the Divana was a new one and an Egyptian. He should have done something about it. Anyway, he got... I know I got 4 days suspension for it, which was the only sort of punishment they could give me at the time. And I lost a bit of promotion, but there you are. That's life.
Was when ships travelled north and south through the canal,
yeah.
Which did you stay on the port or starboard?
What do you mean?
Was it like staying on the left of the road on an English road or on the right of the road on the continental?
Well, it's a different type of thing because only one ship can really go. They only go one way.
So you can't pass each other?
Only if you're a very, very small ship, like a tug. Not a big ship. It's impossible. Because, you see, you get in the centre of the canal. The rudder is central. There's no sort of weight on the rudder. You get off centre. You get the pressure pushing. So you're going more or less half centre, but you're being pushed all the time by pressure. So when the pressure overtakes the effect of the rudder, you lose it. So you go whoomp, whoomp, and the third time you go right up. I had another one too, which was a funny one. And it was a deep-loaded Liberty ship. And we were approaching Kantara. And the captain was a Canadian, he was a Canadian one. He was pickled as a newt. Came on the bridge. And he said to the quartermaster, you're the bugger, are you? You're the bastard, are you? You're the one that's been complaining about the food. And this quartermaster pulled the wheel over, had a staff, and nailed onto it. Well, I'd never seen a captain just sober up so damn quick, because we went whoomph, 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 into the starboard back, and ashore. Well, a hell of a job getting her off. There was only one small ship behind us anyway, and he managed to get past, but we were stuck out, so about an hour later I'd got a wire ashore and pulled her off and whatever, and we proceeded. But things happen.
So you went aground?
Oh, yeah. I reported it. No problem there. Told them what happened, too.
What was it, cooperation with the Egyptians like?
Well, with Egyptian pilots. Well, they had to be one of us. Actually, when you think about it, we were so many different nationalities, and we were all working together. We were an international body, you know. I mean, you talk about the League of Nations, whatever. I think the Suez Canal pilots, with their old racist connection, we became a very, very sort of international body. But there was Italians, there was everything. There was Russian, there was Yugoslavs, there wasn't any Japanese or Chinese, I agree. But there was British, French, Norwegian, Swedes, everything. Every nationality.
Greeks?
Greek, a lot of Greek.
How did it all come to an end when the crisis came in?
Came to an end in a very funny way. I think it was 26th of July, wasn't it? Yeah. When the Americans decided not to fund the Aswan Dam or something. And NASA got up and nationalised the Suez Canal. And I had a ship on the 25th. I went home. Yeah, I probably got home about midnight. And went to bed. Didn't know anything about it until my servant came in the next morning and realised, told me what had happened. After that, of course, we worked under duress for a while.
You had to continue working?
Oh, yeah. Well, you did. I mean, you're not going to be shot, are you? I mean, there was the usual white painting on the road, get out, you English pigs, and the canal is your grave, and all the usual nonsense. But anyway, every ship on power did from then on. I mean, there was an armed guard with you, and that was it. And this carried on until, for at least a month or maybe 6 weeks. All the diplomatic people were doing their best to rearrange matters. And Mr. Eden was visiting his Israeli and French compatriots, organising the nice big blunder. But there you are. That's history now.
Were you there when the attack on the canal took place?
No. 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 No, we were... it's funny how it happened. Trying to think of the reporter. I know we were told that we had to leave, that we were leaving in 24 hours. Finish. All we had to, all we could do was take a suitcase with us, and that was it.
Which month would that have been?
September. It must have been September, wasn't it? Yes. I think it was September. September.
So you just did a few weeks under duress.
Oh, no, six. It was July, August. We did all of August. Must have been September, yeah. Anyway, I can't quite remember the exact dates. But the last half dozen of us from Portside came home in the Carthage, Supino Carthage.
What were you allowed to take out?
Suitcase.
Nothing else?
Nothing else, no.
So you lost everything?
Everything. Everything. Left our cars, we left our furniture, we left our... everything. That was it.
So you suffered a big financial loss?
Oh, yeah. Indeed. Apart from, the company were very good. I wouldn't say the British government was good, but the company were very good, I must admit. We got a pro rata pension and 3 years full pay.
Why was the British government not so good?
Well, I don't think we were paid out for what we lost. Not to the extent of what we lost, anyway. I mean, a few hundred pounds was against the expenses of, what was we had. I mean, is not. They weren't very generous. I know we were paid out something through an arbitration board, but I forget how much it was now.
Had you been able to send money out of Egypt prior to the nationalisation?
I left quite a few shares there, to be quite honest. Never got it back.
You mean you had shares in the canal?
No, not the canal, but through the bank I was using there at the time. A few bonds, whatever, that they persuaded me to buy. Anyway, I think I did have a... I don't know whether I'd sent money home or not. I don't think I did. I think it was mostly left in Egypt.
So didn't any of the pilots continue after the Suez Crisis?
Only the Greeks. The Greeks did. That was how they were able to maintain the flow of ships. Greeks and Egyptians and the Russians that came in, and the Germans from the Kiel Canal that came in. I mean, they all came in or were co-opted, whatever, by the governments.
Did they have any problems running it afterwards?
They managed to maintain quite a good service. I take my hat off to them. When we thought we were indispensable, and nobody is, and it was well proved.